Welcome to the Counter Narrative Podcast, a show designed to change the way we talk and think about education. By sharing stories of successes and triumphs, we aim to challenge the dominant narrative that often negatively portrays our disenfranchised populations. I'm your host, Charles Williams, an urban educator for more than 15 years, a current school principal in Chicago, an educational consultant, an equity advocate, and the co-host of Inside the Principal's Office. Let's get started. Hey listeners, before we jump into the episode, I wanted to share something with you. On January 6th, it's a Saturday, at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, I am going to be hosting a webinar for all speakers who want to up their games. In this session, we're going to dive into the rhetorical triangle so we can figure out how to elevate your speaking prowess so you can build a trustworthy persona, connect emotionally, and present logical arguments that resonate with your listeners. But we're also going to learn how to weave compelling narratives through factual content by exploring various story models. Through this, you're going to be able to persuade, teach, and inspire while also retaining the core concepts and messages of your speech. Whether you're addressing a conference room, pitching to clients, or even inspiring a team, the skills you're going to learn during this webinar will help you become a more confident and persuasive speaker. I don't want you just to leave your audience listening, but I want them to be engaged and moved by your words. And as a listener to this podcast, using the keyword counter, C-O-U-N-T-E-R, you'll save an extra 10%. But hurry. There are some early bird pricing going on now, and ticket prices will increase as the time goes on. I can't wait to see you there. Now, let's jump into the episode. Hello, and welcome back to the Counter Narrative Podcast. I must say that out of all of the episodes that I do each year, this is probably one of my favorites because I get to connect with a bunch of my friends and we get to talk about the holidays. And so today we have an exciting group. Every year when I do this, I try to get together a group of individuals that are similar in some sort of way. Last year, if you listened, it was students. This year, I have individuals who are all professional edu speakers. I'm trying so hard to be like each and every single one of them. And in my journeys, in my travels, I've been able to share space and stages and just being able to learn and grow with them. And so we're going to go around in just a second. But on today's episode, we have Dr. LaQuanta Nelson, the boss. We have the one and only Road to Awesome, Darren Peppard. We have Katie Kindred, Untold Teaching Truths. And then we have a new space in this space because everybody else has been on the show except for Joe. This is not his episode because we will be recording his. But I finally connected with Joe in Wichita. So we have Joe Brummer, who focuses on things like restorative justice and just behavioralism and all of those things that we really need to shift in education. So hello all. How are you all?
Awesome.
That's what we were waiting for, was for Katie Kinder to go first and say, hey, friends.
Hey, hey, hey.
So as we talked about, we're going to start things off. We're just going to go quickly around. I've asked each of these individuals to give a quick elevator speech because I know that you're listening and you're like, wait a minute. These are all like edu speakers. I've probably seen them at conferences or been on a podcast or whatever. Like you have heard these voices. I guarantee it. But I want them to give a quick elevator speech because what the work that they do is important. It is powerful. And so for the course of this episode, we're just going to go down the list that I have on the screen in front of me. So we'll go in the order of the boss, Mr. Peppard, Katie Kinder, and then Joe Brummer. So boss, tell us a little bit about what you do.
So great evening. I am so super excited to be here with all of these rock stars. It's always great to spend time with great people. But the boss educator, you know, when we think of boss, we think of positions and titles, but boss is not about position. It's about purpose. It's not about titles. It's about operating for the greater good with your talent. It stands for bold, optimistic, spontaneous, and substantial. And so I'm just on a mission to help schools and organizations all over the world to cultivate thriving cultures. If we can show up the best versions of ourselves as a person, when we get into position, whatever position it is, we can lead from where we are, even students, right? So that's what BOSS is all about. I hope folks work on their culture, regardless if they're underperforming, overperforming, and anywhere in between.
No, so it was like I did not ask you guys this before the show like started. Like these were these elevator speeches, and you had that down pat. So no pressure to everyone else. I'm not doing one. Darren, what about you?
Well, you got to remember, Charles, you just ask a bunch of professional speakers to talk about themselves.
Exactly. I mean,
we got this. Yeah. So I'm Dr. Darren Peppard, and yeah, that's right. I'm Dr. Peppard. You can't make that stuff up. But I'll give you a second to chuckle about that. But so for me, you know, traveling the road to awesome, as I have for probably the last 20 years, you know, I discovered, honestly, by accident at a point in time that we've got to start focusing so much more on the things that people do right and not on the things that they do wrong. Mm-hmm. And we got to focus on the things that we can control and let go of the things that we can't. And so my work is all about helping leaders. And leaders is such a broad and general term. I mean, that doesn't mean you have to have a title. I love that LaQuanta talked about this, you know, lead from where you are. But no matter what it is that you do, my job is to help leaders to gain that clarity, to really figure out what are they all about? What do they really care about? What are they really looking for? And then help them to be intentional about how they use their time, their communication, and the work that they do, so they can find a little bit of joy in their job and really live the purpose that they have as leaders. So that's what I'm all about. That's what the Road to Awesome is all about. And you know, Charles, I'm just stoked to get to hang out with this incredible group of people tonight.
Darren, I am proud to be on that road with you. So thank you for that journey. And I'm looking forward to this conversation, which now brings us to the one and the only Katie Kinder.
Hi, friends. I don't even want to follow either one of you people. Goodness. I have just been traveling around loving on the teachers. I've been doing some keynotes. I have been training the baby teachers, which is our baby teachers in their first 5 years. We have an alarming number of teachers leaving after their first 5 years. And we don't survive in this climate without our baby teachers. And so I love them and I train and I'm all about innovation and fun and bringing joy back into the classroom.
Thank you, Katie. You know, I was just thinking, if you and Nelson ever did like a speech together, a workshop or a conference, you could call it like Boss Baby.
Boss Baby.
Oh, they're so cute.
did we just get our names married? Okay, I like that.
I know we that did. That could be cool.
So, you know, just throwing it out there. Make it happen. All right. And last but not least, we have Joe. How are you, Joe?
I'm good. I don't know if I have such a... I don't know if I can be the last one that follows up with this great elevator, you know, pitch that you know, these other speakers have clearly worked out better than I have. But I am, you know, a speaker. I'm a child abuse survivor, a hate crime survivor, who has taken this journey of what does it mean to heal from trauma while also creating a trauma-informed world. And so a lot of of what I do in schools, I go into schools, I try to implement trauma-informed restorative practices. But I also just think it's really important that educators understand the story of kids who've experienced trauma. And I'm definitely a guy that's got that story of trauma. And so I don't want people to do this because it's like, I don't want people to do this change in the world because it's just the science tells you to do it. I want people to understand that your heart should tell you to do this because it's the right thing to do for kids. And I was one of those kids that would have benefited from this. And so Yeah, I guess that's my quick elevator speech. I'm trying to wake people up to like moving away from these traditional behavioristic, you know, FBAs and BIP plans, and to moving into more neuroscience approaches to children's behavior and challenges. And so, yeah, that's about the best elevator speech I've got.
Well, Joe, it is a powerful elevator speech. I appreciate it. And now that I'm teasing out, like, you're going to be, you know, on the show for next year as we roll in, like, I'm sure there are people like, yeah, now I'm going to continue listening to your show, Charles, like, you know, because the other ones were okay. No, I'm joking. But so thank you so much for that. We're going to jump in. And the first question is, you know, we're coming into the holiday season. You know, this is a time of various celebrations and traditions. And so the first question I want to do is, I just want to take us back as we come into this time of year. I just want to ask, like, what is one of your favorite holiday memories or traditions, regardless of what it is that you celebrate or how you spend this time? Let's kick that one off. What is your favorite holiday tradition or memory? So, boss?
My mom always tells me she'll never forget the first time that I saw the Christmas tree lights come on in our house. She mimics my little hands, the way I would clap and the way that I was just overly excited. And to this day, Christmas lights make me happy. They make my heart smile. And so we're always excited this time of year. I'm one of those people that have multiple trees up around the house just because I like Christmas trees with plenty of lights. So definitely decorating is always been a thing in our family, a tradition in our family, even growing up as a child. And it's something that I have, you know, kept alive with my small family. So Christmas trees and lights make me smile.
I love it. Thank you. Darren?
Man, I'll tell you what, that's tough to follow the quanta. That's just beautiful. I can see that. You know, for me, when I think about the holidays, there's a bunch of different pieces. But, you know, I will tell you, the room that I'm sitting in right now, behind me, there is what is known as a German Telefunken. Now, we all remember in the, you know, the 80s and 90s, like the big stereos, right? Like Pioneer and, you know, and that kind of stuff made these big stereos with these big, you know, standing speakers. Well,
I still have one. I still have one.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So
I love it.
So in the very late 1960s, my dad was stationed in Wiesbaden, Germany. And actually, I was born there, and so was my older sister. And he purchased this gigantic German stereo, this Telefunken, and it sits right behind me here in my office. It's a credenza now. None of the guts work anymore. But as a kid, I remember our living room in the house that I grew up, that, you know, it had a turntable and it had, you know, a radio and all that kind of stuff. And on the turntable, when it was time to put up the tree, my parents would play Bing Crosby, White Christmas and Elvis Christmas music. And, you know, we'd be decorating the tree and trimming the tree. And, you know, this Telefunken has long since outlived itself, right? You know, it's older than I am, and I'm old, and but we've reached this point where I can't let go of it, right? Like, I turn around and I see this Telefunken, and I think about those moments in that living room in the house that I grew up, trimming the tree and listening to those sounds and watching my dad lay right between the speakers, because this thing had, I mean, for its age, it had incredible bass and incredible, you know, just incredible sound. And so just for me, I guess, you know, when I think about the holidays and I think about, you know, those traditions, it was as kids decorating the tree and listening to music on this Telefunken, man. It's just, for me, that's really what it's all about. And that's probably why I'll never let go of this Telefunken, even though it doesn't function anymore.
I've never heard of that device, but I just love the name, like Telefunken. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, it's got funk in the word, right? You know, but the thing is, I mean, it's seriously, it's probably 8 feet long. you know, 7 feet long, something like that. I mean, it's this big giant, like before, you know, Pioneer did their big, you know, giant, you know, room stereo kind of things, you know, the big, you know, the big, you know, stacked deck. This is what was happening in Germany. And it's, I mean, it's a beautiful piece of furniture. Unfortunately, it doesn't work, but, you know, it looks good.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. Katie?
Well, that was a beautiful story, Darren. Road to Awesome. Well, I have called my mom like several times over the last years, telling her thank you for making the Christmas magic happen. Because with kids of my own, we've learned that the the Christmas magic is from the invisible labor of women. Mm-hmm. That's not right. I'm sure you guys jump in and help your spouses, right? Do you wrap the presents? Do you buy all the things? Like, come on, Joe, tell me what you got. You help?
It's like, Joe, well, help us out here. Help us
out. So I just want to call my mom. I just want to shout out to my mom and all the moms out there killing the game and making. I was rapping for hours today, like W-R-A-P-P-I-N-G. And okay. And I just was thinking of my mom and how she was the one, she worked full time as a principal, superintendent, teacher, and she just made these amazing memories for us. And I think my dad, who I also adore, was equally as surprised when we opened up our presents on Christmas morning. Like, oh, I didn't know we got that. How nice.
So I grew up with the same mom, Katie. Like, okay. I know my dad was like, oh, hey, look at that gift. That's cool. Yeah, I guarantee he didn't know.
Right? I mean, and I don't want to paint all of these precious men with the same brush, right? But in my experience, women are out here making all this Christmas magic. So we've got some really cool traditions on Christmas Eve. We go to church for Christmas Eve service, and then we go look at Christmas lights in the same places. We come back and we read the Christmas story, and then we watch, now that my kids are teenagers, we watch Bill Murray's Scrooged. It's the most amazing Christmas movie that has ever lived.
I don't
you
think
disagree. Somebody just wanted to disagree with me. Go ahead. I'm ready.
No, I was just saying, I don't think I've ever seen Scrooged.
Velvet voice? How are
Get out of town.
No, now I'm like, now I'm going to have to find it and watch it.
No, you're going to. It's the best. And then we go to bed. We have Christmas, matching Christmas pajamas. And it's always really fun. And I'm glad when we get to that night, because that means my work is over for that day anyway.
Thank you, Katie. And I will just say this, is that I have been told that I am a phenomenal gift giver, by the way. So, you know, there is some magic there. I used to just wrap all of our gifts in newspaper, but I would do so with certain sections depending on who was, the gifts were for. And everybody was like, stop doing that, Dad. And I was like, why am I wasting money on paper and tags? I literally would just like write on it with a Sharpie the name. And I was like, I'd rather put that money into your gifts as opposed to spending all this money on paper and making it look pretty. We now spend a lot of money on paper and making it look pretty because, you know,
I was going to say,
now.
Wait a minute.
I'm no longer the single dad doing that for my kids.
You wrap them?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I would wrap them. It was just in, you know, like a newspaper.
That's funny. So, my parents didn't wrap our gifts. So that's, they were just sort of like in piles for each kid. There was a pile of stuff and it was usually just trinkety things, but, you know, the idea that people wrap, I love the idea people wrap presents, because I didn't do that till I was older. And so I love that idea that people are out there wrapping all these presents for their kids, because it's not a thing I did when I was a kid.
Well, tell us, Joe, what's one of your traditions or fondest holiday memories?
I think my fondest holiday, so I, you know, again, I grew up in not the best family on the planet. So my favorite Christmas and my favorite Christmas memory is 2005. My husband and I brought all of my nieces and my sister and her husband, his parents, my parents, all came to our house for Christmas. We went and cut down a tree. It was like the perfect Christmas. Went and cut down the tree. But the best part is that, you know, my husband and I don't have kids. And so we don't get this experience of buying presents for kids. And so the only way that this trip could happen, you know, was, you know, that my family could all afford this was if they're all going to come to Rhode Island, where I lived at the time, to visit us, we had to pay for the gifts. And so we got to go Christmas shopping for my nieces, which I did not understand how fun this would be. I had so much fun buying them the presents they wanted. And I didn't realize how technical and how like their lists were like, I think it was, I forget what these dolls were called that they loved, but they loved this particular sort of doll thing that had these big eyes and whatever. And so we just went nuts buying them whatever was associated with those things. And just got to spoil them and be great gunkles, you know, the whole term for a gay uncle. Like we just spoiled the crap out of them. But the idea that both our families came together and like after decades of not having great holidays, to have this amazing day with a tree we cut down and all of our family involved, it was just absolutely amazing. And so it is to this day my favorite Christmas I've ever had. Just to have both our families together, to have my mom and dad and my husband's mom and dad in the same space was just amazing. And so I will always look back at that Christmas as like my favorite Christmas. And so it was amazing.
That sounds incredible. Thank you for sharing. Were they Bratz dolls by chance?
They were Bratz. Oh my God, I couldn't remember that. Thank you for reminding me of that. That like, and I didn't realize how complicated, like you couldn't buy like the cheapy Bratz stuff. You had to buy like the really cool Bratz stuff. It was more complicated than I had any, you know, knowledge. I didn't have this knowledge because I wasn't a parent. And so I was like, I did not know that it had to be like the particular stuff. And we made sure we got the particular stuff and then some.
Well, there you go. That's important. As a father with five girls, I very quickly learned that those particular things absolutely matter. Now I get Amazon wish list and I'm like, click, 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 buy, buy, buy. And then I'll go out and I'll try to find some fun things. Because if those don't land, at least the other ones do. So I completely understand.
Yeah. There's a backup. Okay,
So Charles, we got to dig into this a little bit more. I mean, and this is where this is the risk you run having another podcast host on your show.
Uh-oh.
So, bro, you're surrounded by five girls. So most of my life, I'm not to that extent. You know, I have a daughter, I have a wife. Our dog is female. I've felt like, wow, I'm surrounded by females. Dude, you're on another level.
Yeah.
Go. Yeah. Talk. Come on, let's go. Come on. This is a whole nother level of like girl dad stuff. So go just for like 2 minutes riff, go.
You know, I will say this is that I have learned in this space, right? Because like you said, five girls, my wife, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, right? Her daughter, like I have learned to appreciate women on a completely different level. And I think my wife often jokes, she's like, you know, the mystery of the woman has been completely destroyed for you. And I was like, yes, it has. but on the other side of that, I think it has allowed me to just build relationships, especially even with my students. You know, it's nothing for them now. They'll come into my office, curl up in a ball on the floor and just be like, Mr. Williams, I'm cramping so bad right now. And it's like, it doesn't faze me. The fact that you can tell me that you're on your period, for example, like, it's like, it's just everyday things. And I don't know if I was not surrounded in this space, if I would feel comfortable, or would I be able to create a space comfortable enough that my students are like, it doesn't bother him. He doesn't care. Like, so I think that's a powerful thing. Cause I know oftentimes with many of the other like males in the building, there are just certain topics that don't get talked about, or, you know, maybe that they're taken advantage of, but like, it's just, it has been an incredible experience, but it's also, right, the work that we do as we talk about creating these like equitable spaces, like, I want to make sure that, you know, women, right, oftentimes in whatever spaces it is, like, you know, if they're shortchanged, literally, right, as we talk about pay disparities and stuff like that, it's just, I have a different appreciation. And I don't know if I would be in that same space without it. But I will say this, that my daughter is my youngest baby. She's 20 years old. She's in New York. She's at the Culinary Institute of America out there. She will be back on Monday for the holidays. And y'all, she is not coming home alone. She's bringing a boy. And I'm like, I don't know what to do about this.
But that, dun,
right.
Like, no.
Hold on to the bar.
No doubt. Yeah. Dude, I appreciate that you say that, though, because, you know, I mean, I look back on my time, especially, you know, as the high school principal piece. And, you know, I think the appreciation changed when I became my daughter's high school principal. You know, I was the principal well before she got there, but, you know, she was on the high school dance team. And so we quickly went from the first time we saw each other in the hallway, like this awkward, what do we do, to my office became the high school dance team's locker room. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, I totally get what you're saying. And I appreciate that you talk about that. And what an incredibly valuable thing that, yeah, I guarantee there's not a single girl on your campus that doesn't value the fact that you see them in the way that you do because of what your experience as a girl dad is. So thank you for sharing that, man. I know I totally squirrel chased us, but when you said that, I just couldn't pass it up, man.
No, I appreciate it, which makes me think about, right? Because this is going to be the next question, is I think about my own family, right? And our girls, obviously things have shifted for us. I remember, you know, the early mornings, you know, like waking up and getting all the gifts and making sure that everything was ready, to the fact that all the girls are adults now, right? I mean, waking up at 6 a.m. is not a thing anymore, right? We kind of wake up. It has taken on a whole different feel, and it's much more, I will say, relaxed. But it's also just really, I think, leaning more into a space of we enjoy each other, right? Way more than that nervous excitement for what's under the tree. What am I going to get when I open up this gift, right? The focus is on those gifts. And now the fact that we are older, it's truly just, you know, this is time that we get to spend together. These are memories that we are creating together. And understanding the value of time, because we know, right, that at some point, this will no longer be able to happen. And so I think we've hit a different stage, and that's something I think beautiful for me. So that is going to be the next question here, is we've talked about the past, right? The fond Christmas memories and traditions, or I should say holiday, right? Because whatever we're celebrating. But in now I want to talk about, like, what are you doing now? I know Katie kind of jumped ahead on this one a little bit, so I hope she has some more things to share with us. But what are you currently doing? What are some of those things that maybe you've started brand new, or maybe you've carried them over from your past, whatever it might be? What are some of your current traditions that you're celebrating? So, boss, kick us off.
You know, I grew up in extreme poverty, you know, and so I learned very early on, like, the power of being in the moment with the people that you love. Like, you know, I was one of those folks that were so poor, like, we didn't even realize we were that poor, right? Until I got older, like, oh, wait a minute, we're missing some things. And, you know, when I first had my baby, Tyler Jacob, you know, I think I went through that phase of I want him to have so much more than what I had growing up. But it happened very quickly and early on over the years that it's just evolved back to what I know is important. And it's expectations, it's experiences specifically. You know, right now for Christmas, you're talking about experiences and exposure over things. You know, these kids have so much stuff. Tell me if it's just mine, right? But Tyler legit has had to brainstorm what he wanted for Christmas, because the child has everything. And so me and my best friends, same thing with her girls. You know, it's like they don't even know what they want because they're spoiled rotten. They get junk all year. And so that's been one of those things, kind of, you know, picking a destination, not necessarily for Christmas Day, because we do definitely enjoy our time with our family. Our family still gets together. You know, I'm from the South, and so cooking is a thing that we love to do for everything. But outside of that, like, we like picking destinations, and we like to explore, you know, new places versus just buying more stuff to throw in the closet.
Man, I love that, Nelson. So just, you know, with the holidays around the corner, as we're talking about visiting new spaces, when you do, feel free to show some love and, you know, take me with. That would be wonderful.
Yes.
Darren?
Well, that was a selfless plug, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, like, hey, yeah. I mean, bring me along. I'm not going to bring turn down a free yeah. trip somewhere.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you could come to Omaha. You just come hang out with us here.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's about the people, not the place, right?
100%, right?
That's yeah. correct.
And well, but I think that's what it's all about, right? You know, when I think about, you know, traditions, you know, I already shared, you know, a pretty lengthy story about the Telefunken, but, you know, as a family now, for us, you know, we certainly enjoy the, you know, sit down and celebrate Christmas together, but, you know, you reach a point in your life where, you know, you've got to go visit this part of the family and that part of the family. And we've allowed ourselves to be okay with, you know, giving that Christmas time to, you know, my parents, to my wife's parents, you know, that kind of thing. And now, like, we kind of celebrate our own, you know, holiday a little bit in advance. And, you know, for us, it like starts when we start the decorating process. Like our biggest tradition right now, our biggest thing is when we start the decorating process. And I mean process, because that's what it is at our house, is, you know, it starts by, you know, hit and play. And mercifully now it's also on Hulu, so I don't have to necessarily dig out the DVD player. But, you know, for us, you know, let's get Christmas Vacation going. And once Chevy Chase shows up on the screen singing "Joy to the World," we're good, right? I mean, it's like, here we go. We've got Christmas Vacation on the screen. And at some point, little Leonard is going to say, "Dad, did you bring a shovel?" You know, and here we go, right? So, like, once Christmas Vacation gets rolling with us, man, that's when the traditions start, you know? And, you know, we enjoy our decorating, and we enjoy just making it about our family and about being together, and honestly, just like shutting out the rest of the world for a while. Like, that's to us, that's what the traditions are all about. There's so many great things, mm-hmm. you know, in our past. And I'm probably jumping ahead a little bit. I know you want to ask about our, you know, like our traditions, but that's kind of where I've gone with this is that's, you know, for us, it's let's do this. Let's enjoy the time. And, you know, let's watch those movies that we love that are, you know, part of those holiday traditions, you know? I mean, again, it's about the people and about, you know, it's celebrating time together.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, whenever we talk about Christmas movies, I think about like the Christmas movie, you know, A Christmas Story. And
yeah,
I love the fact like that pieces of it were filmed in my own hometown, that the writer was from here in Hammond, Indiana. And so there's a huge A Christmas Story production, like they do a whole museum and everything. The actors come out, so it's a blast. So if you're ever looking for something to do, not much to do in Hammond per se, but it is a fun time because Darren, I just saw the leg up in your office. So
yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, well, and I will tell you this too, Charles. So if I mean anybody wants to dig at all, I mean, like if you're one of those people who loves to dig into people's digital footprint, you would find 5, 6, 7 years ago, my own daughter decided that there's a, you know, a picture of me at about, I don't know, age 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there, that looks remarkably like the kid in the Christmas movie. And she put the two of us side by side on Facebook and said, "Hey guys, have you met my dad?" So you just got to check that out. I'm just saying it's worth. I didn't wear the glasses, but otherwise, yeah, that's me.
You have to show proof now in our group chat.
Oh, I will find the picture for you, Katie. I promise.
Yeah, I want to. If it isn't in picture, it didn't happen. So we need pictures.
Thank you, Joe knows.
Well, thank you for sharing, Ralphie. I mean, Darren. Katie?
Okay, so I love what all of you guys are saying. We started protecting our kids Christmas morning and Christmas Day pretty early on. So we give Christmas Eve to my in-laws, and we see my parents the day after Christmas. But we protected it for just the four of us. And it is just wake up, Santa, which is also moms or dads, everyone. and don't watch this with your kids who still believe. And then we just leave it all out. It's messy. And we lay around in our pajamas and we put the phones up and we play games and we just have a blast. And I really like that. Life is about experiences. What experiences are we creating for our kids, for our students, for our teachers? And I think that's really important.
Awesome. Thank you. I love that idea of just that protected time. Like, this is for us. You know, Darren mentioned earlier about like the families, right? And we are the house where everybody comes. We host everything for everyone all of the time. And so it is nice, though, that before everyone gets there, it's our time. And understanding, hey, people are going to come and go, because as they're starting their own families, right, they're going to go visit other people. But it's my wife and I, this is the hub, right? We are kind of the centerpiece of that family. And so even though they're coming and going, right, they start with us and they usually end with us. And it's just like, this is that central place, that rock, that foundation. And so my grandparents' house was that for us growing up. And so, you know, I resented it a little bit in the beginning. I pushed back like, no, I'm not. I don't want it to be that place, because that means that our house is always full. But now it is something that I've absolutely embraced. So kudos. I love that idea. Joe?
Wow, this is hard, because, you know, I am a trauma survivor that comes from, you know, a family full of, you know, dysfunctionalness. And so holidays have not always been like the most pleasant thing in my life. And so after, I would say about 2008, for a good amount of time, I just did not celebrate Christmas. It's not, we'd buy each other small gifts and things, but the whole like to-do of it all, I just sort of avoided it. I would send people like New Year's cards instead of Christmas cards, because I needed a break. And just before last Christmas, we had bought a new townhouse. And I thought, this seems like the right time to pull this back out. And so we got a fresh cut tree. And the husband and I had this agreement that we would not go crazy on funding, but we would like reasonably buy each other some meaningful presents and just sort of reclaim Christmas. I don't know if that's even a word or a term, but like we needed to reclaim Christmas. Yeah, and so we went out and bought each other these really cheap but meaningful gifts and had this amazing day. So it turned Christmas into like your bad Lifetime Hallmark Channel romance. So we spent the day by ourselves. We made an amazing dinner, and it was really just about like just us and us as a couple and us as two people that needed to reclaim Christmas from family drama, commercialism, all that craziness. We just needed to reclaim it. And so now we're like we're literally a week and a half away, and I have not been doing my due diligence at shopping. And so I need to get my game on this week. And buy some really silly fun things and so that, you know, we have our tree up and it's, you know, decorated with, you know, things we've collected over the years. And I love this idea of just reclaiming Christmas from, you know, abuse and trauma and craziness and just making it something new for us as we go forward. And so I think last Christmas was so amazing for me. And I'm hoping this Christmas is equally as amazing. We might have some friends coming, which is, you know, we had Friendsgiving for Thanksgiving. And so I think it's going to be a little bit of that like reclaim Christmas for us kind of idea. Because not every family has family or family isn't functional. Like we're trauma people. Like we talk about trauma. And so, you know, part of that story is like, how do we turn trauma into healing and resilience? And I think one of the ways we do that is to just like reclaim our holidays, how we want them, how they will make us happy and make us feel full and rewarded by them versus, do I have to trudge through dinner with Uncle Frank? You know, I don't want to do that stuff anymore. And so I want these things to be joyous. And so I think Christmas is going to be pretty fun. I have a really, really cool gift for my husband that he knows nothing about and it literally cost so little and it's so cute. And so I'm looking forward to having that moment of just like, this is what Christmas is supposed to be about. Like love and the things that support you. And I don't want to do drama anymore. And so I'm just leaving that behind and reclaiming Christmas for me.
Joe, I think that you've just found the title for this episode, Reclaiming Christmas.
Charles, I am over here like jumping up and down, clapping. Like, that is absolutely it. I think that we forget exactly what he's saying. You know, Christmas and the holidays is not all happy-go-lucky for everybody. And so many people in our world and our society are experiencing grief. And grief is not always somebody passed. And we forget that, right? So many people are grieving the fact that life is not the way they imagined it would be at this point for them. Think about that. How many of your friends, how many of our family, like if you really, really think about it, like I hit this age or I hit this mark in time and I thought my life, I envisioned it differently. And so some of us, and myself included at times, I have to check myself with that, you know? So I just absolutely love reclaiming my Christmas, reclaiming my holiday. I'm so going to share that, Joe. You should coin that. That's fantastic.
But I love what you just said, though, that whole idea that sometimes we think about grief as the things we've lost. But sometimes it's the things we just never got that we wish we had.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
And sometimes you have to grieve that stuff. And the holidays are a time where people struggle with that grief, not about what they've lost, but what about what they wish they had and they haven't been able to create, that they've got to sort of maneuver somehow. And so, yeah, I love how you said that.
Man, this episode, this is what I talked about, right? When we first got on, I said, this is one of my favorite episodes to record because it's just some fun conversations and you never know the nuggets or the gems that are going to come out. So thank you. And that is, like, I've already made up my mind. That is now the title of this episode, but it is coined to Joe. So Joe, we are going to promote this everywhere and have you with it. And in lifetime, if for some reason there's a producer or something like listening to the show, first of all, thank you that you would actually listen. But like, feel free, right? Turn it into a movie. I've got this great friend out on the East Coast who would be, you know, the perfect person for that film. So, so with all of those things being said, let's just get ready to close it out. I will go around one time. And if there's anything that you want to share as we just close out, final thoughts, final ideas, a message to those people who are listening. Because this will be one of the final episodes of this year. There will be one more, which it's like our New Year episode, which is always one of the pause to ponder moments. So that'll just be me sharing my final thoughts for the year. But let's close this one out. So we'll just go around one last time, same exact order. Any final thoughts, ideas, messages, anything you want to share?
I just want to encourage folks to find the joy in the simple things this season. You know, it doesn't, it's happiness is not in Walmart. You know, it's not in Best Buy. It's not even in Saks. You know, it is legit in the beauty of seeing the sunrise. You know, it's in the beauty of being able to stand outside and feel the rain on your skin, you know? And so just take advantage of that with the people that you have in your life. And, you know, sometimes you get to a space where you don't have people in your life. You just got to be reminded there is still hope. As long as there's breath in your body for this season and forging ahead, there is hope. And so just reminding everyone that there's somebody out here that loves you. Like, legit, I'm one of those people that I don't meet a stranger. So even if you hear from nobody else, I love you guys and wishing everyone happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you, Darren.
Man, this is, I haven't enjoyed following the boss this entire time. And right now I'm really struggling with it. I really am. LaQuanta, you just absolutely hit that out of the park, because, you know, I think, you know, my final thoughts, you know, I love how Joe talked about this, just, you know, reclaiming Christmas, reclaiming the holidays. Just, I think for each and every one of us, and this is something my wife and I've talked about quite a bit, you know, over the last, I'm going to say handful of weeks, probably more than any holiday season that I can remember in the last 8 to 10 years. I have been just so excited, so full of hope with this particular holiday season. And guys, I'll be honest with you, I can't put a finger on why, but this is the season when I feel like my heart is full, and I just want to reach out and just pour that love into everybody. So every single one of us, that's what we've got to focus on, is, you know, this is that time of year when, you know, we set aside our differences and we set aside the things that pull us down and the things that cause us to struggle, you know, let go of the things that we can't control and focus on the things that we can, and just let's just rejoice in the fact that this is an opportunity to remember that we're human beings and that we need to connect with other human beings, and just love the fact that we get the opportunity to get out of bed tomorrow morning and take that deep breath and love one another. I mean, to me, that's what it's all about, man.
Man, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Darren. Katie?
Goodness. I just want to say that I'm thankful that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are together.
Oh, jeez.
I can't follow either one of you. Like, I can't. Like, can we just talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? I'm kidding. So, I think it's...
Here, let me bail you out a little bit. Let's talk about whether or not that penalty should have been called. Will that help?
No.
I mean, is that what you want?
No. Yes. It should not have been called.
No, it should have been called. I hate the Chiefs.
Oh my gosh, how dare you say that about Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift's boyfriend? No, it should not have been called. And I think that Patrick Mahomes was right on trying to fight people. No, don't use your fist. These hands are for love. They're for helping. Okay, so I just want to say that you should check on your people. And I think that people, they don't fake depression and sadness. They fake being okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes for all of our family and our educators and our all of us. And I'm just grateful for this community. I'm grateful for being in community with educators all over the nation. And I just want to remind everybody to check on your people.
Thank you. I love that.
I love that.
I love that. Joe, close us out.
Oh, geez. I guess, you know, if I was going to tell all the listeners listening to this, like, my last thought on holidays, it'd be, you know, we get bombarded by movies and Christmas cards and commercials that tell us what our holiday is supposed to look like. This is what Christmas is about. And the reality is, I think I've learned, especially the last couple of Christmases, especially this coming one, that nobody gets to define Christmas for you. You get to define Christmas for you. And you and your loved ones get to define Christmas for you. And if that means staying home and watching a Harry Potter marathon, which I would love, but rock on. Like, if you get to sit home in the bathtub with a glass of champagne,
you're a Harry Potter
rock
person
on.
Too. That's amazing.
I am. But if it also means you have a big family to hang around with all that drama, awesome, do that. But don't let anybody tell you what your Christmas is supposed to look like. Your Christmas is supposed to look like that thing that makes you happy.
Man, I don't even know what to say. The four of you have brought some phenomenal words of wisdom, some heartfelt moments, some joy and laughter, but also those just, like, let me sit and think on that, right? Those gems, those nuggets. And so I cannot say, and I know I close every episode out this way, but it's truly and honestly coming from a place of my heart. Just, I thank you. Right. Thank you for being on the show, obviously, for making this probably one of the most incredible episodes of the year. But just thank you for having a space, allowing me to share space with each and every single one of you. My educational journey, my educational experience has been far better because I've been able to connect with each and every single one of you. So thank you for that. I hope that you all have an amazing holiday. For those of you listening, I hope that all of you have an amazing holiday. Whatever it is that you do, however it is that you celebrate, just make sure that whatever it is, that you go back and you reclaim your holidays. Until next time. I want to thank you for listening to the Counter Narrative Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, share it with friends and family. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show, so please leave a comment or two as well. Now, I'm not sure what platform you're using, but the show can be found on Anchor, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and plenty of other platforms. If the show isn't on your preferred site, let me know, and I'll be sure to get it up and running. This podcast is also featured on schoolrubric.com, where you can find educational articles, videos, and interviews with educators from around the globe. Be sure to connect with me and other listeners by following the show on Twitter at the CN Podcast and joining the show's Facebook group. Take care.